Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be here this evening. I do pray you'd bless us now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach and these that are saved as they hear, and I pray you'd bless the preaching tonight and our study of your Word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the title of the message tonight is Tongues and Interpretation. This is the seventh study in our study of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we talked about serving gifts, and tonight we're getting into sign gifts. And we'll talk about some more of the sign gifts next Sunday morning. But today, tongues and interpretation. So first of all, we'll look at speaking in tongues. The first thing we're going to see is that tongues were a sign for the unsaved. Tongues were a sign for the unsaved. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." So the Word of God says that tongues were given for a sign to the unsaved, to the unbelievers. Now the second thing that we will see about tongues is that tongues were real languages. Now this is very important. Tongues were real languages in the Bible. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 is the first time that we see people speaking in tongues. Now, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, but the first time we see it is in Acts chapter 2. And the Word of God says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." This is the first church, the church at Jerusalem. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." So these people would have spoken lots of different dialects, lots of languages. They were from every nation under heaven. Verse 6. "Now when this was noised abroad," that is, their speaking in tongues, in these languages, "was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So you can see from this that tongues in the Bible was real languages that people already spoke, and it was a miraculous gift whereby these disciples of Jesus were able to speak in these foreign tongues. And then in verse 9, they begin to name the tongues that they were speaking in, these languages. "Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia," all these people had different dialects. "Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes." Verse 11, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So these were real foreign languages and dialects that these disciples were gifted with the ability to speak. They were not just gibberish. They weren't just sounds that they were making, but they were real foreign languages. Now, number 3. Tongues were abused at Corinth. In the church of Corinth, tongues were abused. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 14:23. "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?" So in other words, if the church is gathered together and everybody's speaking in foreign languages, will an unbeliever not say, "You're crazy," because all they're going to hear is just gibberish. That's all they'll hear. is it then, brethren, verse 26, when ye are come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edify. So the church at Corinth abused this. Now later on we will see that not everyone has the gift of tongues. So it was not possible that when the church got together that every single person could speak in tongues. And so you had people that were faking the ability to speak in tongues. They were just speaking gibberish. And we see this happen today. In certain places, we see everyone get together and lots of people speaking in tongues at once and people speaking gibberish a lot of times. And that's what was going on at Corinth, in addition to people that really had that gift. And the Bible says, how is it then, brethren, when you're come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Now, number four, we're going to see that tongues and interpretation were the least important gifts. The Bible gives an order here in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and the Word of God says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And you see the progression in the early church. The apostles were the ones. There were very few apostles, but the apostles were the ones who wrote the Bible, who had the authority. They would go in and preach and give the people the Word of God, and they were starting the churches, and they were giving doctrine from God. So it was first apostles, secondarily prophets, because the prophets were not only preaching, but in that day and age, they were prophesying revelation. And they were prophesying the Word of God or speaking forth the Word of God. And then thirdly, teachers. So there were people to teach the Bible. After that, you see the order here. First, second, third, then after. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we see that in order, tongues are at the bottom as far as the gifts are concerned. And it's strange that today, when people are looking to have gifts, that tongues are the first thing they want. Tongues are at the top. But in the Bible, they were the least important. 1 Corinthians 12:29 says, are all apostles? These are rhetorical questions. Of course, the answer is no. Very few were apostles. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. That's the answer. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So you couldn't have had in the church, when they came together, everyone speaking in tongues, because not everyone had that gift. Verse 31, the Word of God says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that bridges into 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about love. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, then I become as sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. So the most important gifts were to be coveted, but there's never a command to covet to be able to speak in tongues. It's not the most important of the gifts. It's at the bottom. Number five, we see this. Only one at a time could speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, that is a tongue that they did not know, a language that they didn't know, because if he had spoken in a language that they knew, that would have been prophecy, and everybody could have understood him. But if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So there were rules here. They were to have no more than three people speak in tongues in the service, and then they were to have it done by course, which means it's one at a time. And then there had to be an interpreter. So when you have a meeting today where a crowd of people get together and everybody's speaking in tongues at once, and you have people popping up saying, oh, I'll interpret this and I'll interpret that, and it's going on all at once. You have 30 people doing it. It's completely unscriptural. The Bible says no more than three. The Bible says by course, one at a time, and there has to be an interpreter. Now, this next one I think you'll love. Number six, women were forbidden to speak in tongues in the service. 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for he is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, this does not forbid women to speak at all, but it's particularly addressing, it comes right after the tongues section, and there's a statement made about prophecy, and then it says this. Some people think this is just addressed to preachers' wives. However, it would be hard to see how a preacher's wife could not be allowed to speak in church. But it is at least... But most people that interpret this interpret it to be speaking, addressing the fact that women were not supposed to speak in tongues in the church, nor to give prophecies in the sense of revelatory prophecies in the services, yes, in the church services. So, yeah, there's there was one church that took this to such an extreme that they didn't even allow women to say amen. They actually, some of the missionaries went there on deputation. They actually had signs that said amen. The women would hold up a sign. But it's kind of interesting that a lot of the tongues movement today is led by women. And I'm talking about gibberish. It's led by women. And in the... Johnny, quit laughing. I'm trying to make a point here without getting in trouble. But this is just a fact. It's just a fact. A lot of the heretical tongues movement that's going on in some churches today and some groups is led by women. And women were having a part in this at Corinth, so Paul had said, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. So it's not forbidding women to speak at all, but particularly to speak in tongues or to give prophecy. Number seven, there had to be an interpreter. 1 Corinthians 14:28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, this is another thing, is that when it talks about, in this chapter, people speaking in tongues, it says, always says, let him, because it's men that were allowed to speak in tongues. So it says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, let him speak to himself and God. So there had to be an interpreter when tongues were spoken. Now, understanding that tongues are real foreign languages, then we understand that there can be an interpretation for a foreign language. For instance, if someone comes here and they speak Spanish, then there can be, then you can have somebody interpret it. For instance, if I were to say, and I practiced this, but I haven't done it in a long time, por cuantos todos pecaron y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios. That was very mangled Spanish, but it was Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I just spoke in a tongue and I interpreted it. Okay? And it's verifiable because you can check the Bible, the Spanish Bible, the Reina Valera, and you can see that I made a poor attempt to pronounce that, but at any rate, that it's the Word of God. Now, the fact that there had to be an interpreter shows that these tongues were real languages, because how can you be sure that what the interpreter says is true if the language is not verifiable? So in other words, if somebody stands up in a service and says, "The Lord's speaking to me," blah, 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 and then somebody stands up and says, let's say Johnny stands up and he says, "I have the gift of interpretation. He just said that it's going to snow today." There's no way to verify that that's what he said, because he's not speaking a known language. But if a person stands up and speaks a real language, and then there's an interpreter, then you can at least verify that what the interpreter says is true. Otherwise, people can just say anything. An interpreter can get up and say anything. You have no way to tell if it's true. So there had to be an interpreter. Number 8, Paul equated his learned ability to speak in foreign languages with the miraculous gift of tongues. Now, this is interesting. Look in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 14 here. And the Word of God says, Paul said, "I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than y'all." So Paul said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." And he's using that to make a point. But Paul is saying that he speaks in more foreign languages than all of them. Now, the interesting thing is that Paul was a scholar, and a lot of the languages he spoke in were languages he learned through study. And yet, now he is a missionary, so God may have given him the ability to miraculously speak in other languages. We don't know, but we do know that Paul was a scholar and that he learned some languages, certain languages, and that he spoke in more languages than these people did. And knowing that, I'll make that point in a second. Let me just show you this from the Bible. Paul spoke Aramaic because all Jews in Israel spoke it. That was commonly what they spoke, Aramaic. And we have an example of an Aramaic word in 1 Corinthians 16:22, where Paul writes, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." The word maranatha is of Aramaic origin. Paul spoke Hebrew. In Acts 26:14-15, Paul was a scholar. There were Hebrew scriptures. He would have spoke Hebrew and been able to read it. "And when we were fallen to the earth," this is Paul talking about his conversion, "I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.'" This was all done in the Hebrew tongue, because Paul spoke Hebrew. Paul spoke Greek. Acts 21:37. "And as Paul was to be led to the castle," Paul was a prisoner, as he often was. So Paul was on his way to the castle. "He said unto the chief captain, 'May I speak unto thee?' Who said, 'Canst thou speak Greek?' So Paul said in Greek, 'May I speak to you?' to the chief captain. And the chief captain was surprised and said, 'Can you speak Greek?' He was speaking Greek. So Paul could speak Greek. Paul was a Roman citizen and probably spoke Latin. Acts 22:27-28, "Then the chief captain came and said unto him, 'Tell me, art thou a Roman?' He said, 'Yea.' And the chief captain answered, 'With a great sum obtained I this freedom.' And Paul said, 'But I was freeborn.'" So Paul was born as a Roman citizen. And he probably, scholarly Romans could read Latin, speak Latin. He probably could speak and read Latin. So the thing that we should learn from this is that if Paul was able to equate his learned tongues with this miraculous gift of tongues in the Bible, then perhaps today there are people that study and learn languages that God has gifted with the ability to learn languages. For instance, there are missionaries that we know that have a unique ability to learn and acquire foreign languages. That is a gifting of God. And it's used exactly the way Paul is talking about it here. And so, God is still working through this gift of tongues, although the manifestation of it that was seen in the early church has changed. We don't commonly see this in churches, and I'm talking about real tongues, real people being able to speak in tongues, in real languages. But we do see people that study and learn to speak in these languages. And there's also stories that you hear, and I don't know if they're true because I've never seen these things, but I have a very good friend who is a missionary in a foreign country, and he met some other missionaries who claimed that they had just gone into this tribe and did not speak their language, and they all of a sudden could speak the language. That's what they told him. That would be the gift of tongues, a miraculous gift. Is it true? I have no idea. I don't know. But I know that they claimed it was true. And they're missionaries. Could very well be true. There's also a story that happened in Tennessee in a very large Baptist church at that time where a guy came to the altar. And he could not speak English, and an altar worker came down and talked to him, and the altar worker was able to lead him to Christ in his own language. But he didn't know how to speak that language. So it was a divinely given thing. And that story's been circulating in this area for years. I didn't see it, have no way to verify it, I just know it's been circulating. The point is that we don't see, we hear stories about this sometimes, but we do not see this gift manifested the same way it was in the early church. And a lot of these sign gifts have changed or they have faded out from use in the way they were used in the early church. But what we do see is that God is still working and doing miracles and doing these things, and he's certainly giving people today the ability to learn foreign languages. And Paul talked about that, his learned ability, and he equated it with their miraculous ability to speak in tongues. Number 9, we should not forbid other believers to speak in tongues. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, this does not go along with what I was taught in Bible college, but it's what the Bible says. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. Now, if that's what the Bible says, I have a choice. I either go with the Bible or I go with what I was taught. What should I do? Should go with the Bible. We should do what the Bible says. Says forbid not to speak in tongues. So we don't forbid it. But there's some caveats to that. Tongues is not whatever somebody says it is. It's what the Bible says it is. So if they are real languages, if there is an interpreter, we should not forbid tongues to be spoken, but it's always to be done in a decent and orderly way. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And John Gill, who is a Puritan Baptist pastor, Bible scholar, Puritan means he lived a long, long time ago. And John Gill, and it means other things, but John Gill said this about decently and in order. The words may be considered as a general rule for the decent and orderly management of all things relating to the worship of God and discipline in his house, that in all things a good decorum and strict order be observed, that nothing be done contrary to the rules of decency, and that the laws and commandments and the laws and commandments of Christ. So what he's basically saying is that things need to be done in the house of God in a decent way and in a strict order. And so that means that in the house of God, we're not going to have people, while I'm preaching, popping up and taking over the service. Not going to allow that to happen. That's not decently and in order. We are not going to have, and this happens sometimes. I have a pastor friend that pastors near here that a guy came in and had a word that he wanted to give. And he didn't know the guy. So he told him, well, let's do that tonight. And then he found out what he wanted to do, and it could have been a problem had he allowed him to do it. So now I'm not talking about, understand this, during our song time, people, you know, raise their hand, give testimonies and things, and that's always been done, and that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about when the Word of God is being preached, we have an order to the way we do things. And I've never had this happen here, and if it does happen, we'll find out a way to handle it. But I'm just saying that biblically we do things decently and in order. And so in keeping with that, if there was somebody here, because we've had missionaries come, I'm trying to think of an example, but we have had situation at the church I came from where a foreign pastor, a Spanish pastor that lived in Peru, showed up and was brought by an American pastor who spoke English. And so he was allowed to present with an interpreter. Well, that's an example of that. It was decent. It was in order. He was allowed to speak in his language, which would have been a foreign tongue, and he was allowed to do that. But there was an interpreter there, and only one person spoke, and it was done decently and in order. So all of that is a scriptural way of doing that. And who knows? We may have that sometime. I have been to countries in South America and Central America, and I've spoken through an interpreter, and I've had good interpreters and bad interpreters, but I have spoken through interpreters, and it's completely scriptural. If it's decent and in order, the pastor knows about it, it's the way it's supposed to happen, but we just don't have somebody stand up and take over a service. That's not going to happen. Now, very quickly, we've looked at the biblical rules for tongues. We've looked at what tongues are. Now we're going to look at the gift of interpretation. Interpretation of tongues. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So, the Bible says, if you speak in an unknown tongue, pray that God gives you the ability to interpret. Now, again, we're not really seeing this manifested the same way it was in the early church. But it's a good thing to have the ability to interpret if you speak in a foreign language. Most people who study foreign languages also can interpret the foreign language, because if you know it, then you can interpret somebody else speaking it. But some people are just no good at interpretation. For instance, I have preached before and had somebody interpret for me who interrupted me the entire time. And it's almost impossible to preach when you can't finish a sentence before somebody starts translating. And that's what interpreting means. It means translating. They're interpreting it. They're translating it. And so I was preaching in South America, and he was translating for me, and he interrupted me the whole time, and it just threw my thinking off. I have also preached with people that were really gifted as interpreters, that I would speak, and when I got done, they would translate. And then I would speak, and they would translate. And we were kind of working together like a perfect team, and it would just it would flow, and it worked very well. And you have to learn when you're speaking in a foreign country to speak in short thoughts and don't ramble on. Because if you ramble on, then when the interpreter starts to interpret, you'll lose half of what you said. So you speak in short thoughts, and it works. Just like at home. My wife has to speak to me in short sentences, simple thoughts, so that I can comprehend what she is saying. Now, this was a gift of the Spirit to interpret foreign languages. Sometimes it may have been learned, like Paul's ability to speak learned tongues. And so we have to keep in mind, I think the Bible doesn't say one way or another, but the Bible does say, pray that you may interpret. Well, pray that you may interpret, if it was a gift of the Spirit, could have meant that God miraculously gave them the ability to interpret, as I'm sure that that happens sometimes. And sometimes it may have been that they could study and they could pray that God would give them that ability and that they could study and learn. Because it is not easy to learn a foreign language. And some people are just gifted at it. And other people aren't. I've learned some Spanish, but I do not have a gift for learning foreign languages. I love the English language, but I also love Spanish, and I've studied Spanish, but I don't have a gift for it. John Pearson, that's coming, taught himself Spanish, and he preaches in Spanish. He taught himself. He has a real gift for it. Not everybody does. So, in summary, tongues and interpretation. I kind of want to give you an interesting take on this. Number one, let's pray for missionaries who are trying to learn a foreign language that God will help them to learn it well and quickly. There are missionaries all over the world in language school today. Probably not today because it's Sunday, but at any rate, they're in language school. And they are trying to learn a foreign language. Well, then again, it's Monday morning in some places. I was right. So, nonetheless, there are people. My wife rolled her eyes. There are people that are missionaries that are studying. Keep in mind that I'm sick. Okay, I don't feel well. There are missionaries. So y'all are lucky that this even makes sense. There are missionaries in foreign countries that are trying to learn foreign languages. We need to pray for them. My wife and I both lived in Peru. We both been to language school. I remember waking up every morning during the week, getting in the little taxi, and I don't know how those cars made it, but anyway, they made it. You feel bumps coming up through the floorboard. They have three cylinders. Okay. It's not, the spark is like a race car compared to those cars. So, but we would ride to language school out in the middle of the desert, and we would go out there and we would sit, and learn Spanish. My Spanish teacher, bless her heart, she worked really hard and just, I didn't do as well as I should have. So, nonetheless, we need to pray for people that are going through that and trying to learn foreign languages. We also need to pray for those in our community who are trying to reach non-English-speaking people with the gospel. There's people all over this community. In fact, the Southern Baptist Convention says if somebody starts a church now, they should always have a Spanish ministry if they start a church, because it's a mission field. And a lot of times we look at that as Americans. And as Americans, you know, we say it should be English only and it should be this and it should be that. But we have to also look at it as Christians and say, look, there's people that are lost that have come here, however they came here, whether they came illegally or legally, they're here. And so we have to reach those people with the gospel. And amen. All right? It's the truth. We have an obligation to reach them with the gospel. And we need to pray for those people. I believe it's Ernesto Mendez has been in this town forever. He's been trying to say he started Spanish churches, Spanish ministries, trying to reach people with the gospel. He's a Southern Baptist pastor. We should pray for him. We should pray for missionaries that are trying to do that and people that are trying to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for that. Years ago, when I was in high school, I'll close with this. Years ago, when I was in high school, I had a friend that spoke Spanish, and he introduced me to this family that they all spoke, they didn't speak any English. They were living in this little house. I still know where the house is. I drive by it on my way into town sometimes. And I remember going in there, and I was probably 18 years old maybe, and I remember going in there and having him translate for me while we led the family to Christ. And they got saved, and to the best of my knowledge, they ended up going to Brother Mendez's Spanish church that he had started, and getting in that church, getting baptized. So there's a mission field here in our county, and we need to pray for people that are working to reach those people. We need to pray for them. And let's do that. So that's our lesson on tongues and interpretation.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com. And HarmonyBCOnline.com.